Now we are going to start JavaScript. Okay, so we're now going to take the logic that we've been looking at, and we're going to now learn programming, and then we will eventually combine the two. Okay, first of all, we are starting off with JavaScript, and JavaScript gets embedded in HTML. Remember I said HTML is a hypertext markup language, it's not a programming language. But you can use JavaScript within HTML, and JavaScript allows you to do calculations, it allows you to do if statements, it allows you to do loops, and all that good stuff. So it allows you to do programming within HTML but through JavaScript. Okay, HTML still can't do it, but JavaScript can. Now, JavaScript is a pain in the neck. You're going to discover that you get the white screen of death when you make a small error, like leaving out a comma or something like that. People that do it professionally have expensive editors that will try to catch those things for them. But in fact, when you're learning how to do it, beating your head against the wall as you try to find the comma is a good experience. So, if you find a good editor, let me know, but for free. But it actually is good to get used to debugging and finding the errors that you're going to do. Pardon me?
JavaScript makes the community a bit more
risky. Oh, absolutely. I mean, a risk, if you're talking about security, then no more than anything else, you can figure out ways of having security. One of the things that we're going to look at is prompts, and they're not happy with those for security reasons. Okay, so we're going to programs. So under site resources, okay, quiet please. Under site resources, click on programs. And it's the second group down that starts out with hello. So hello.html, click on that. And it runs, okay? So notice the output that I'm getting from that. I'm getting a line of code up here. And I'm getting a prompt with the words hello world in it. And I didn't mean a line of code up there, I'm getting output up there. So I've got output that says hello world at the top of the screen. And then I have hello world alert pop-up prompt. So I'm now going to click OK and close that down. And the background now goes to white.
And it always has.
And if you go to view page source, you can see the code. Now I'm going to copy this code and put it in Notepad, mainly so that we can see it a little bit, and we can also see the output at the same time. Okay, so if I look at this, that's the output. And here is the code that caused that output. Somewhere. Yeah, that'll work. Okay, so first of all, notice that I have HTML at the top and the closed HTML at the bottom because I am using HTML and embedding JavaScript inside the HTML. Now, as we go along, you'll see that we're going to mix HTML and JavaScript. But for now, I'm just using the HTML as a container, and I'm putting the JavaScript inside so that we can talk about JavaScript. So the first thing I have to do is tell the browser that I'm going to be using JavaScript. So I do that by using the line that says script. Type equals text JavaScript. And that tells the browser that it should expect JavaScript from this point on. Okay? Then I'm doing document write. And that means this whole screen is considered the document. So I'm writing on the document. And so that got me the line up here that is saying, hello world. Okay, document right. Then in parenthesis, I put what it is that I want to write. And I want to write, hello world. Now the hello world is in quotes, which means it is a literal. I literally want to write the words, hello world. Okay? And then the next line says, put out an alert that says, hello world. And that's putting out the alert that says it. So I have both a document right and I have an alert. Okay? Notice that the document write, the write function, is acting on writing what is inside the parenthesis, which is hello world. And hello world is in quotes because it's a literal. At the end of the line is the semicolon. And at the end of most JavaScript lines, you'll have a semicolon. Then I put up the alert. And the alert is a function that acts on the things in parentheses and puts up the hello world in the alert button. Then I close the script and close the HTML and I'm done. So that is a very basic JavaScript program. Questions? Yeah.
Now, like, in, like, those parentheses, basically the circle thing, you can, like, with quotation marks, you can, like, say anything.
Yep.
As long as it's in a JavaScript.
You can say anything within those parentheses that you want to display on the screen. Yeah.
When you write the script, you're using HTML, you're using JavaScript. But when you save it on the computer it doesn't say the extensions like JavaScript. Do you have to save it on the JavaScript file?
Hello.html.
Okay.
You save it with an HTML extension.
Okay. What happens if you save it on a JavaScript file?
No, got to save it with an HTML extension. Yeah.
So the part that says hello world in the middle, like yep. The OK button, is that under script? Is that like all under?
That's the alert. The alert, that's called an alert.
So like you put alert whenever you want to put
something. Whenever you want to put something up in a pop-up.
So
use alert.
If there's no alert, like no pop-up?
That's right. And we're using alerts because it kind of shows the things, but in the real world, I hate people that use alerts.
Alerts? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't like pop-ups. Huh?
Did you just say you hate people that use it?
That use alerts? Absolutely. Because then I have to click their stupid OK box. And I don't want to click their OK box. I want to just have the information. So yes, I said I personally hate everybody that uses an alert.
Is there any way that you can actually change the OK to like welcome?
Yes, but we're not doing it. Probably, but I'd really question wanting to do that. But you can... And we're not going to get into it, but you're going to have a variety of buttons to click on down here.
Oh, nice.
They'll let you cancel, okay, whatever. Okay? But again, we're just looking at an introductory. The more JavaScript is covered in a variety of other courses, but this one is just more.
One last thing.
Yep.
After you write something like this, you always need to have an H. You always have to make sure that it says It's supposed to have, everything must have end with an HTML extension.
Yes.
And I do mean everything.
But I don't know how to define everything.
Like,
when you write JavaScript that is embedded in HTML, which is what we're doing, it needs to have an HTML extension.
At the end, right? At the end.
When you name it, you're .html, just like you do with an HTML page.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't show.
Right. Okay, now the next one we're going to look at is multiply.html. So we've looked at hello. Well, now we're looking at multiply. Okay, I've got too much competition going on. My turn.
And my name's Butterscotch.
And that's competition. Quiet, please. Okay, I clicked on multiply. Now it is coming up and saying enter the first number. Notice the zero in here. We're going to talk about how that got there. So I'm saying enter the first number. So I'm going to enter a 6. And then I said, okay. And now I'm going to enter a 4. And say, okay. And it is going to multiply them together and tell me that the answer is 24.
It's kind of like a calculator.
Sure.
In some ways.
So now I'm going to do view page source, and I'm going to take this code and put it in Notepad so that you can see it when we go over it. And bring up the output again. So the output was 24. Okay, so the first thing I'm doing here is setting up variables. I have a variable called answer. So I am setting up a bunch of variables. So I'm going to have a memory variable called answer. I'm going to have a memory variable called first num. I'm going to have a memory variable called second num. So I am setting up 3 memory variables. And I'm giving them an initial value. So answer gets a 0, first num gets a 0, second num gets a 0. That's giving them an initial value. Okay. Now, notice that I have these all as lowercase. I could have had uppercase letters mixed in. But JavaScript is very case sensitive. And we will see this later in the semester. But the computer code, 8 binary bits for a capital A, is different from the 8 binary bits for a lowercase a. And so they're not interchangeable. If you're working with a program that lets you type in either one, it's because behind the scenes, there is code that says if it is equal to capital A or equal to lowercase a. And it's checking, saying either one is acceptable. But JavaScript is very case-sensitive, and I cannot put an N up here, and then now when I'm using it, put a uppercase N.
So basically, it wants it that way, that way, it makes it more sense.
Yes.
Very. It doesn't want any little thing, like, if it's uppercase, it doesn't want it.
That's right. It's fussy, fussy, fussy.
Last year, at my high school, we used to do Adobe Dreamweaver.
Yes.
But we always had to do lowercase, right, and uppercase.
Yeah.
And for some reason, it wouldn't go.
Well, the reason is that a capital A is a different color than a lowercase A. And so I've got to do extra coding if I'm going to accept either.
Like, you can't even, like, save the file as uppercase. It has to be all lowercase.
Okay.
For some reason, you wouldn't know why.
Okay. Okay, so now I've defined my three variables. Then I'm coming over here and saying first norm equals prompt. So prompt gave me a pop-up, but it was asking me a question. And I entered in data. Notice the comma zero. When the prompt came up, remember I said there was a zero in the box? That's how the zero got there. Enter the first number, comma zero. That's how the zero got in the box. If I wanted a five in the box, I could put comma five. If I don't want anything in the box, I can get the comma zero part and just eliminate it. Most people do it kind of as a cleanup to make sure that it shows a zero indicating I want another number. Again, the line ends with a semicolon. And this equal sign is an assignment sign, don't forget. So this is an assignment sign. So what I am saying there is, put up the prompt, and whatever the user types in, assign it to first norm. Whatever the user types in the second box, assign it to second norm. And then I'm doing my calculation. Okay, so I put in, what did I put in? I think 6 and 4. So I put in 6, and then I put in 4. Or vice versa. Okay? And so when it now says answer equals first num times second num, it's now putting a 24 in there. So answer is now a 24. And then I go over here and say do a document write and put out answer. Now answer here is a memory variable. If I had put the answer in quotes, what would you have seen up there? If I put quotes around A and S, what would you see in the return?
Would you actually see like the word?
You'd see the word.
You would see the word form, not number form?
No, you'd just see A and S. Because if I put A and S in quotes, it's like when I put hello world in quotes. It's going to give me A and S. So if I put it in quotes, it says, oh, that must be a literal, and it puts A and S up on the screen. When I don't put it in quotes, it says, ah, that must be a memory variable, and it goes and finds the memory variable and gives me the content that's in the memory variable.
Sorry.
Okay? Questions? Okay, I want to look at the third one, which is very similar to this. Come on, we can do this. And the third one says multiply answer, and if I again put in 6 and 4, it is going to come up again with 24, but this time it came up with a word as well. Okay, so this time this is exactly the same, except in the document right, when I said, in quotes, the answer is. And then notice there's a space before I close quotes. That's so I'll leave a space after the is up there, so that the number 24 doesn't bang into the S. So that gets me a space. The comma is a separator. And it is separating the two things that I want, one of which is a literal, one of which is a variable. So I am printing out both a literal and a variable, and I am separating them with the comma. So I'm saying print out the answer is, and also print out answer. and so I'm separating them out. Okay.
Oh. What did you say?
It
was a joke.
Okay.
Oh,
my favorite. So, now if I put out document right, the answer is answer. I see that over there. Okay, what I want you to do is take 5 or so minutes and write a very simple one like this. Maybe make it do a divide, maybe make it do a subtract. Don't make it do an and. The next one that comes up, we'll get into how to make it and. But for now, don't make it and. Just try something like this. Okay, you write it in Notepad or Notepad++, then you take it just like it was HTML and save it with a .html extension. After you've saved it with the .html extension, you open it in the browser and then you can see the output. So you're testing this the same way that you tested HTML. Yeah.
Do we get to add like other nums, like third num or fourth
num? Sure.
Oh, counts? Oh, okay.
You're just experimenting now, so sure. So take a few minutes and write a very simple program comparable to the one I just wrote. Obviously, you can copy and paste it with another topic. If you've got the template that you look for, you can get rid of a lot of the trash by doing copy and paste. But copy and paste, or write it yourself, and bring it up in the browser and make sure that it's working. And if you get the white screen of death, then you get to go back and figure out why you got the white screen of death.
This symbol right here at every end of the thing.
That's a semicolon.
Yeah, every end there has to be a semicolon.
The shipping.
You can. I was curious.
Sometimes it forgives you if it's not there, but it's a good idea to put it there. There are some things that JavaScript will forgive. Will they get your screen or? Yeah, don't do a plus. Do a divide if you want to, do a minus if you want to, but don't do a plus.
Now, how do I...
Okay, just like you did it in HTML, do a file save. Save as, give it a name, and put it wherever you want to put it.
Now I give it a name, right?
Yeah. Say that you can give it a name, .html. And then you can work over here. Now, where are you in? Do you need 5 bucks?
Yes.
Okay, just do it right click up here. I write at the very top. No, not there. Oh, actually, that didn't work. All right. Right click and hit menu bar. And that gives you so you can put the file open.
Then that will ask you about options.
And then find the one that you're looking for. You put it on your e-drive.
Right.
So I end up with an HTML.
Right.
Then I save it.
Yeah. And then you open it in the browser window. Remember, if you're in Firefox, if you do a control, you get the menu bar.
Right click.
If you do a right click, you can get the menu bar. And then you can do a file open.
File.
So I just do a right click up here, and that I can get me the menu bar, and then I can do a file open. If you don't do that, then you can use Control O or works in the browser to open something as well. But that's the same way that you tested your HTML. Now, all we're doing is embedding JavaScript in the HTML.
Is that a question?
Pardon me? So do the multiply and then put a slash and put the other thing you want to divide by.
No one can say that.
So that'll be like the first number.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to do it, you just would add in here.
I was going to put
times, second one, slash, third number.
Okay.
And then a semicolon.
So, okay.
Okay. Now, with multiply and divide, it moves, they have the same hierarchy, so it does the first one, it hits first.
Oh, okay.
So it hits multiply first and then divide. Yeah? Only I read the space.
Yeah.
But then you want to put a variable there. Yep. What? Oh, good. Okay. If you get the white screen of death, it basically means the program's died. You got to figure out what went wrong. Sometimes it's a missing comma, sometimes you spelled something wrong, whatever. If it can't recover, then it just shows you the white screen. If it is an error that it can recover from, it will show you partially. But if it can't recover, you get the white screen. Yeah. Good. Good. That's the goal.
Like the goal in
Okay, now we're going to look at add num. Add num. Okay, it's now working. What was it?
It's an explorer.
Oh, yes. Quiet, please. I would strongly suggest not using Internet Explorer because it can be more temperamental than the others. So I would use other things other than Explorer. So I said here I want to add two things. So I'm putting in a 7 and I'm putting in a 5. And I got two things that came out of that. One is 75 and one of them is 12. Okay, so we're going to look and see how that happened. So I'm doing a view page source. I'm taking the page source and putting it in Notepad so that I can look at it at the same time I see the code.
What was the second number you put in?
7 and 5.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I put in 7 and 5. So when it asks me for the first number, I put in 7. So 7, that's stored in first num. And then 5, that's stored in second num. So now I'm saying, okay, just a simple little add. First num plus second num, write out the answer is the answer. And it wrote out 75. Okay. So obviously it's not doing adding. The plus sign can mean two things. It can mean concatenate or it can mean add. And it defaults to concatenate. Concatenate is putting two things together as one. So if I say first num concatenated with second num, 7 concatenated with 5 is 75. So it concatenated the 7 with the 5 and came up with 75. Not what I wanted. So what I have to do is convince the browser that I'm dealing with numbers and that it should do the add instead of the concatenate. So what I have here is, if I put pass float and then the first number in parentheses, it will convert or claim to convert first num into a number. What it will do more than anything else, I guess, is acknowledge that it's a number. And then it acknowledges the second num is a number. And then it adds those together and puts it in other answer. And when I do a document write, and I'll look at the line above it in a minute, when I do a document write, it puts out the answer is other answer. And it gave me the 12. Because once I convince the browser that these are numbers and it should add, then it adds 5 and 7 and gives me 12. Okay. Parse float means it can be a floating number, and a floating number is a decimal number. There is also a parse int. Okay. A parse int, which is parse integer. So if you know it's a whole number and you only want to deal with whole numbers, you can say parse integer. If you say parse integer and there's some decimal numbers, it will just drop the decimal numbers. They'll go away. So you parse float is a safer thing if you think the number might have decimals in it. Okay, it's a safer way of doing it. Now, the line below this. If I had just done the two document writes, the two lines would have been on the same line. I didn't want them on the same line, I wanted them on different lines. HTML has a BR that it understands, and the BR means break. So, BR with the less than and greater than signs. So what I'm doing is sending to the browser the literal BR with the greater than less than signs around it. It gets the literal, looks at it and says, oh, this is a BR, and it goes ahead and breaks. It does the break. So this will then break, and then it will write the next line. So the BR sent to the browser, the command BR as a literal, it's like I literally wrote it in HTML, it sees the BR the way I wrote it, and will do a break. So, that gets me the 75 if I concatenate, and the 12 when I add. Put two things together as one.
We get to practice this?
Yeah, eventually. Okay. No, look, I promise. Okay, so it puts the two together, okay, as one. Homework, I promise. Okay. The next one we're going to look at is add number continued. And in this one, I'm going to put in the 5 and the 7 again. This time I put the 5 first and the 7. And I got 57 and I got 12. Okay.
Now, I'm going to the add num con, correct?
Add num con, right, continued, as in continued.
Yeah.
Now, this is showing you some other ways to do it. And I didn't include parse integer in this other way. I should have. So, parse integer can be used where parse float, the same way parse float. Okay, so here I set up and I decided I wanted to have multiple answers, multiple ways of doing it. So answer is just doing an ordinary add, and then I write out answer. Then I came and I wanted to write other answer, and other answer uses a parse float to convince the browser that it's got numbers. And then I wrote that out. Then I came to plus answer. Now wait a minute. Plus answer isn't defined up there. Okay? I should have, but I didn't. And I got away with it. Because I got output. So I got away with it.
What, because you got output?
Well, that's how I know I got away with it, is because if I got output, I got away with it. If I hadn't gotten away with it, I'd see a white screen right now.
Oh, of course.
Okay. So, the reason I got away with it is the JavaScript determines that if this is an answer, you must have wanted to define it, and it defines it for you. Okay? So, that's why I got away with it. Now, if I had not defined first num, which is not an answer, it's something I'm using, then it would have given me trouble because I have to define the things I use. But apparently JavaScript decided that if you don't provide an answer, it will define it and set up the variable for you. Okay? Because there's no real downside to that. Setting up a variable for something you were using in a calculation has a downside. Setting up a place to hold the answer doesn't. And so it gets away with it. So with plus answer, instead of using parse float, I just put a plus sign up there. And that works. And then on the next one, number answer, I put the word number with a capital N. Okay, so then I go away with it. Parse float, notice, has a capital F. Number has a capital N. That's just the way it is. Whoever decided on JavaScript decided it wanted capitals there. And you have to use the capitals too.
Oh, wow.
Because it will not understand.
Unless you have capitals.
Unless you use the capitals when you're saying parse float or when you're saying number. Yeah.
Do you know if, like, one person created, like, JavaScript?
I have no idea, but I doubt it. There's too many different ways of doing things, so I think they actually did it.
It's, like, too complicated for just one person.
That's right. I think they did it as a group, and nobody could say no to anybody else. So they have a lot of stuff in there that maybe somebody should have said no to. That's my theory.
A few college kids got together with the JavaScript.
Go ahead.
What is your question?
That's
what I said.
Oh.
Okay. So, serious question. It must be capitalized no matter what.
if you're using parse float. If you use parse float and that's a lowercase f, it does not recognize it as parse float. Parse float has a capital F. Without that capital F, it's not parse float. Okay, and so it won't recognize it.
So it must be capitalized at all times.
That's why you capitalize the I in the other one, is because the integer or whatever.
That's why I have what?
The one where you wrote in blue, the INT, that's
yes.
Why the I is capitalized.
That's right. They decided for the same reason. Lots of times people like to capitalize second words. It's known as camel case. And so if you've got a name that is made up of multiple words, they lots of times will capitalize the beginning as the second word. So parse float actually makes sense to me from that point of view. Number makes no sense. Why do we have a capital N there? The only thing I can think of is that number has another band, another leash. Okay. But other than that, I don't use that because it drives me crazy. So I use the plus sign or a parse float or parse integer.
Okay, so those are just other ways of doing it. So when you're doing an add, you got to make a decision. Am I going to use parse float, parse integer, the plus sign, or the word number? Your choice. Doesn't make any difference. The only difference is that parse integer will only allow whole numbers. So that is a caveat on that one. But notice all the rest worked, and I got 12 on all the rest. Okay, so what we've looked at so far has all been sequential processing. I am doing sequentially, going down, doing the first command, doing the second command, doing the third command. I'm doing sequential processing. Now we're going to get into getting a little bit more complicated.
Joy.
Of course. So, we're going to go back over here. And, whoops, I went too far back. We're going to pick math answer. So here I'm saying enter the first number. And I'm going to enter an 8. Enter the next number, I'm going to enter a 4. And now I'm saying enter an asterisk or a slash. Your choice. So I'm going to enter an asterisk, which means multiply. And I'm going to hit the OK, and it's coming back with 8 times 4 is 32. Now, if I right-click on this, I can get the code and take it over to the notepad so we can look at both at the same time. Okay. So now I'm getting into a decision. I define first num, I define second num, I defined what to do, and what to do, I didn't give an initial value to, I just defined it. If I wanted to, I put it with the equal sign and quote, quote, which would mean it would be empty, or quote, space, quote, which would mean it would have a space in it. But I just didn't care, so I left it. Okay? The difference between a space is a space is actually a code, whereas nothing is not a code. So quote, quote gets me nothing, which is not code. And quote, space, quote gets me a space. So here, when I put up this prompt, I put in the bar where I'm going to ever end it, I put a quote, quote, which means I put nothing in that box. And nothing is nothing. It doesn't have a code. But a space, you hit the space on the keyboard, it makes a code. So now I'm asking a question, and the question I'm asking is what to do equal to an asterisk. So I'm checking to see if they entered an asterisk there. Okay, so looking at the flowchart for this, I'm going to start out and I'm going to have start. And then I'm going to say define my variables. And so I'm putting that into a rectangle, because a rectangle is when I'm going to process or do something. And setting up the variables is doing something. Then I am going to put up a prompt. And I'm going to ask for first novel. That I'm using a parallelogram form, because parallelograms are the I.O. goes into those, input output into a parallelogram, okay? That's almost as good as concatenating. And so then I'm going to come down and take in second num. And then I'm going to come down and take what to do. So I have defined my variables. I've taken in first num, taken in second num, taken in what to do. So now I'm going to do an if statement. And my if statement is asking, is what to do equal to an asterisk? Okay, do I have an asterisk? If the answer is yes, then I am going to multiply. And that's a process.
And if it's no?
If the answer is no, I'm going to divide. In either case, when I'm done with that, I am going to write out answer. And then I'm going to stop. So here is my decision. Here's what to do if it's yes. What to do if it's no is I'm not going to draw because I'm going to get too crowded here. And there's the what to do.
Be written out.
Pardon me?
Does it write the answer?
Yes. Document write the answer is followed by answer. Okay. So that's the logic that I'm going through. So if you look at this and look at the logic next to it, if what to do is equal to an asterisk, I am going to multiply. And we'll talk about exactly how this is set up in a minute. If what to do is not equal to an asterisk, I'm going to divide. What about if what to do is equal to a plus sign? What am I going to do?
Divide.
Because I said if it's not an asterisk, take the else and divide. If what to do is an A, what am I going to do? Divide. So no matter what it is, unless it's an asterisk, I'm going to divide. If it's an asterisk, I'll multiply. Anything else, I'm going to divide. Well, we've got a problem there that we've got to fix. So right now, that's the way it's set up. Okay, so now let's look at the structure of the if. I said if, and then I put the condition in parentheses. Okay, the condition is in parentheses. Now, notice that equal is an assign sign. Quiet, please. Equal is an assign sign. Two equals are a compare. Compare for equal. So one equal is an assign sign. Two equals are compare. So here I want to compare what is in what to do to an asterisk. So I'm using the two equal signs. If it's true, what I want to do if it is true put inside curly braces. So this is what I want to do if it's true.
Right.
If I have 10 things that I want to do if it's true, I'm going to have 10 things inside the curly braces. I only have one thing, so that's fine. Here is what I want to do if it's false. So if it's false, I want to do the divide. And then after I've done one or the other of those, I'm going to do a document write, and I'm going to write a literal comma, the content of answer. Okay?
In this case, the content would be zero because you want
ten a number. Okay, turn it down.
I'm sure.
So where am I? Go ahead, what was your question?
I said, so, but in this case, the answer is going to be zero because you want it to work. If you had five on where it says if answer, because you said you need to plug in like, the answer.
No, this one, the answer is actually, I put in, what did I put in? I put in
8 and 4.
So 8 and 4 multiplied together is 32. If I divided, I would have got an answer of 2. Right?
Yeah, so I was just saying, like, you will leave everything as if you're going to change the answer at the bottom because it would change what it will give you.
Right, it's whatever calculation puts something in answer. Okay. So, looking at this, what we have to figure out is what to do if we want to check for the divide. So, if I want to do something and check for the divide, then my yes statement is going to change. It's going to say, is it an asterisk? And if the answer is yes, it is an asterisk, then I am going to do the multiply. If the answer is no, then I'm going to ask, is it a divide? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to do the divide. If the answer is no, I'm going to say error. And notice I connect the yes and the no. So I come down here and I connect the yes and the no, and then I connect the yes for the first question with the no, which went all the way through the second question, and I connect those. And some people like to put little arrows in. Okay, so I've connected the yeses and the no's. So this is now what I want to put in my code. I want to change my code so that I'm basically going to ask two questions. Okay? So, I'm going to bring up my code. That's not how to bring up my code. That's how to bring up my code. And I'm going to save this as error multiply divide .html. Okay, and I'm saving it now, and then I remind me to save it when I'm done, because I didn't do that in my other class and we got the wrong answers. Okay, because I didn't save. So we're going to save this time. I'm not going to do the same stupid thing again. So, I am saying if it's equal to an asterisk, I'm in great shape. Else, and actually I think I can move this over. Nope, I don't think we can see it. Okay. So, I'm going to say else, and in the else I want to ask about the divide. So I'm going to say if what to do is equal to a slash. So there's my question. If what to do is equal to a slash. And if it is, then I want to put out answer equals first num divided by second num. Else, if it's not, so there's an else for this. If it's not, I want to say, okay, answer equals error.
Do you have the use of brackets like the same way you have it there?
Yes.
You
don't have to indent, but you will not be a popular person if you don't. Okay? Because it's a lot easier to read somebody's code than it's indented, than as if it's all pulled against the left wall.
Right.
The computer doesn't care. People care. Okay? People want to see some indenting on something like this. So, if it is false, I have a first question. If the first question is true, this is what I want to do. If the first question is false, this is what I want to do. Within the false, I'm asking another question. If what to do equals a slash, and if that's true, I want to do this, and if it's false, I want to do that. Okay? So, if what to do equals a slash, then I want to do a divide, else I have an error. Notice every open has a close. One of the things I do when I'm doing a lot of these is I count open ones. One open, two open, three open, four open. Count closes. One, two, three, four, they're the same, so maybe I did it right. But if I had four opens and three closes, I got a problem. Four opens and five closes, I got a problem. So I want four and four. Now, I still might have put them in the wrong place, but at least I have a fairly good idea that they're working.
So you're going to put spaces between the comparing?
Say that again?
If what to do is equal to asterisk,
then do the multiplication and assign it the answer. Else, if it's not, check and see if what to do is equal to a slash. If it is, do the divide and put it in answer. If it's not, put the word error in. Yes, no, maybe. Questions?
I think I missed one.
Can't get that there. If I make the prompts kind of go away, then maybe we can. Okay, so we're just looking at the if statements. And that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
The only problem I have is just like the code, like it's just so hard to like just like organize and read everything. Like whenever you put it in the chart, the yes and no chart, it helps a lot. Like, so
yes, it does. and the flowchart, doing the flowchart first, so that you can see what you have to do, helps first. I mean, I would never sit down and write a complicated program without, and for you, a beginning program is a complicated program, without first figuring out the logic. Because I need to have a blueprint to tell me what to do. And if I don't, I'll make a mistake in the code and finding out how where to fix it and everything is a royal pain in the neck. So it's a lot better to think through the logic, and then once you have the logic, do the code. It just works a lot better. Okay. Now what I want you to do, we've got about 10 or 15 minutes, because I actually saved and ran, and I wasted a lot of time in the other class, because I didn't save, and I kept getting the wrong errors. Okay, so now what I want you to do is, and again, I would do the logic first, so I'd sketch out the flowchart first. I want you to add in, so I can say, I can do multiply, divide, add, or subtract. So I want what to do to be able to take a asterisk, a slash, a plus, or a minus, and do whichever one of those four the user is in. Okay? So, that's extra credit for anybody that does it, and I'll even give you partial extra credit if you try and send me your effort. But go ahead and work on this. You can pass it in up until next Thursday. And because next Thursday I'm going to do the answer. Yep. Okay, I will take a look in a minute. Or Eric, would you mind?
Yeah.
Taking a look at his.
Yeah.